Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Word of God for our sermon today is the Old Testament lesson we heard a few moments ago from Isaiah chapter 12. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ at Mount Olive, especially Pastor Joe Gowell. Joe, I have to admit I was honored when you asked me to preach for this special occasion. But as the date got a little closer, then I started to get a little nervous, a little intimidated, and maybe feeling a little inadequate for the task. After all, what am I going to tell you today? We spent a whole year together when you were a vicar. I already told you everything that I know. And then 7 years ago, when you were installed as a pastor in Lexington, Kentucky, I had the privilege again of preaching for your installation. I don't know what else I can tell you. But then I realized why you asked me to preach. You're coming to serve at a church with four pastors. There's bound to be a little bit of comparing that goes on. Where does this new guy rank as far as the preaching goes on Sunday morning? And when you preach your first sermon here soon, your goal is then at least to have the people say, well, at least he's better than that guy that preached at his installation. I'm sure you feel a little bit intimidated, a little bit inadequate today as well. You've accepted a call to one of the bigger churches in all of the Wells. You're going to be serving on a team ministry with four pastors, a large faculty. That can all be a little intimidating and a little scary. But thankfully, God doesn't just say to you, here you go, here's your flock. Go out the doors, there's your mission field. Here's a Bible, here's your tool. Our good and gracious God does a whole lot more than that for us. He gives us so many promises to go with us. And I'd like to focus on a couple of those today from Isaiah chapter 12. And as we look at these words today, I'd like to encourage you to begin your new call with confidence, trusting in those promises of God and then proclaiming those promises of God. And what are those promises? The first one that Isaiah brings to our mind is that God has turned his anger away from us. Think about what that means. Think about the opposite of that. Think about what it is for a sinful human being to stand in God's anger. How awful that would be. A few chapters before our sermon lesson for today, Isaiah had what we could call his installation, his commissioning and sending out as a prophet. And there he got a glimpse of what it's like to see God. He saw the Lord seated on a throne. He saw the angels around him and his immediate reaction as a sinful human being. He said, woe to me, I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. He's trembling, but God comforts him quickly. In a very unique way, in a very special way, in a way that might seem a little weird, a little strange to us, a burning live coal was taken from the altar and put against Isaiah's lips. But it didn't burn them. And that's God's way of letting Isaiah know, I have turned my anger away from you. And now in our verses for today, God's reminding Isaiah, that wonderful promise, that's not just for you, Isaiah. I want you to share that with everyone. We heard, in that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. In that day. What day is Isaiah talking about? In that day? It's that day that they were all looking forward to, that day when the root would come up from the stump of Jesse, that day when God would come and take on human flesh and come into this world, that day that we just celebrated a few weeks ago, Christmas, that day that we are living in right now, that day that God has turned his anger away from us. Joe, if that were not the case, we could never serve in this wonderful office, this privilege of being shepherds. Because we are pastors with unclean lips, and we serve people with unclean lips. And even with our best intentions at times, that sin taints us. It sits right outside our office door, the selfishness, the impure motives, the impatience. But God has turned his anger away from you, from me, from all of us. And so keep that wonderful promise in mind. Every time that you have that privilege of baptizing a child of God, remember that that water of baptism washed over you as well. Every time you have that privilege as God's people come forward for the Lord's Supper and you distribute the Lord's body and blood to them, remember those words that you speak, given and shed for you, were also given and shed for you. And when that member comes to you and they're hurting and they're riddled with guilt, and you tell them about the forgiveness that they have in Jesus, remember, you have that same forgiveness in Jesus. You can begin this new ministry with confidence, trusting in that promise that God's anger has turned away from you. God gives another promise through Isaiah. He says that he will be the strength for Isaiah. He says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. When I hear those words and I think about how Isaiah was at times a little reluctant to do the work God had called him to do, I think of another one of those Old Testament prophets who was a little reluctant, Moses. God called Moses to do some pretty amazing things, but Moses didn't want to do it. He didn't think he could do it. He didn't know how he could do it. But God reminded him, I'll be your strength. Remember the time he brought Moses and he said, go into this cleft in the rock here, and I'm going to show you who I am and what I'm going to do for you. And then he heard these words as the Lord passed by and he revealed himself. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. That God who says, I will be your strength, that went with Moses, that went with Isaiah, he says, I'll go with you too. One of the jobs that I had as I was going through school is I worked summers for the county highway department. And one of the guys that I worked with, one of the full-time guys, when we would get done with a little job or a project, he always made this comment. Well, it's good enough for who it's for. And I think it was kind of his way of just rationalizing, maybe not doing the best work, but it's done. And I remember when I worked with him, at first it really bothered me because I was always taught, no matter what you're doing, you always give it your best and you do your best work. But as the summer went on, I kind of learned to like his phrase a little bit. Because after all, nobody ever asked for my opinion. Nobody ever thanked me for filling potholes and flagging traffic and dodging cars as I did that and mowing ditches. And they paid me $3.50 an hour. Yeah, it was good enough for who it was for. I have a lot harder time rationaling away my laziness and my mistakes when it comes to the ministry. Because we're handling the Word of God. And we're serving God's people, people that he loved enough to send his son to die for them. So we need that strength from God. We understand why Isaiah and Moses would say, how am I going to do this? Who's going to help me? And I understand today why you might feel a little bit intimidated. Every call, when you start a new call as a pastor, is a little tough, a little challenging. But you're taking your ministry here is going to be just in some ways a lot different than what you were doing. I'm guessing that on a Sunday morning in Lexington, Kentucky, at your church there, as the only pastor in a smaller congregation, you could look out on a Sunday and you would know immediately who's here and who's not here today. You would be able to look out immediately and say, who are the guests that are here today? Who's visiting us today? I don't know if that'll ever happen here, where you'll be able to look out and know immediately who's not here today. You're also coming to an area where there's a whole lot of Wells people, moving from an area where most people didn't know what Wells is. I'm still adjusting to that. I've been here 2 years now, but it still seems kind of strange to me after living and serving in places where nobody knew what Wells was. You'd go to the doctor, you'd go to get your car fixed, you'd go to get your hair cut. People always ask you, what do you do? You tell them you're a pastor, and I'd say, well, yeah, pastor. They say, what denomination? I'd say Lutheran. And they'd say, huh, what's that? Is that kind of, that's just like Catholic, right? Then I moved here and those same things happened and the same questions. And I'd say, I'm a Lutheran pastor. And they'd say, oh, are you Wells? And I'd say, yeah. And they, well, what church? And I'd tell them Bethlehem and Hortonville. And they'd say, oh, my uncle goes there. Or I went to a grade school there. It'll be different. But the Wells people here will struggle with sin just like the Wells people in Kentucky and Ohio. They will be needed, they will need to be pointed to their Savior just like the people in Kentucky and Ohio. And while there might be a whole lot more Wells people around here than other places you've lived, there's still a whole lot of unchurched people around here that need to hear about Jesus. And so as you begin your new call with that confidence, remember, God's your strength. And how do you make him your strength? By spending time with him first, before you serve God's people. That means time personally in the Word. That means making sure that your wife and children are in the Word with you at home. That you spend time in the Word with your brother pastors in your church here and in your circuit and your district. And then you can do what Isaiah says next. As you begin this new call with confidence, Isaiah reminds us in verse 4, in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. One of the most important things you'll do is stand here on Sunday mornings and proclaim the promises of God to God's people. But again, it'll be a little different because you're not going to do that every Sunday, right? You have to take turns with these other guys. And yet one of the neat things about being on a staff with multiple pastors is that you're not the jack of all trades anymore. You don't have to do everything, but you get to focus on certain things. And so as you focus on the areas of ministry that are yours and your strengths and the other pastors do the same, you still get to proclaim the name of the Lord and then encourage and equip God's people to proclaim the name of the Lord and the great things he has done for you and for them to build up God's kingdom. And as you do that, as you proclaim all those promises, you know, I just spent some time telling you how different it's going to be here. But now I'll tell you, it's also going to be the same. You'll proclaim that same gracious God to God's people, and you'll find out they're just like the people in Kentucky, and they're just like the people that you and I serve together with in Ohio. There will be someone like Eleanor that you'll stand and sit at her bedside as she lives out her final days, and you'll point her to Jesus. And there will be people like Hutch, a dear man who will do anything for you, his church, his pastors. You'll find people like Tom and Wendy who love Jesus and love their church, because that's what happens when you proclaim those promises. God's people, they will love Jesus and they will love their church and they will love to serve with their pastor. And so you'll proclaim those promises of God and you'll see some wonderful things happen and you'll see God's blessings and you'll see growth and you'll see just amazing things. There'll also be times as you proclaim those promises that you'll see people not care, not pay attention, or even reject. And I don't mean to say that that doesn't matter or that you don't care when that happens, but God says, don't worry too much about that in this sense. Just proclaim. And when the good things happen, rejoice. And when the struggles happen, just remember that God simply asks that you be faithful. Faithfully proclaim those promises. So this is kind of an exciting day. An exciting day for you as you begin this new chapter in your life and your ministry. An exciting day for Mount Olive. Anytime a new pastor comes on board, it's kind of a new chapter for the congregation as well. For me, it's a day that I breathe a sigh of relief because I know that 12 years ago, a talented young man was assigned to work with me for a year, and I see the wonderful, gifted pastor he's become, and I think, I'm glad I didn't mess him up. And now as you begin your ministry here, do it with confidence, trusting in God's promises and then proclaiming those promises to God's people. Amen.